You're listening to Island Tribe Radio with Peggy Rubenzelis and Woody Pollack, where we talk programs, parenting, and good, clean family fun. This week on Island Tribe, we talk with Tracy Mack, who is a student and family support specialist with Vashon Island School District, focusing her efforts at McMurray Middle School.
Tracy, welcome to our show.
Hi, Tracy.
Thank you. Hi, Woody. Peggy.
Well, it's really great to have you here. And I was hoping that you could start off by telling us what your job is at the middle school. I think we'll kind of focus on the middle school today. So, go ahead.
Okay. In the capacity of being a student family support specialist, I have two kind of primary functions this year of promoting wellness and resilience by mentoring the Sources of Strength club or group that meets at the school. I can tell you a little bit more about that. And I also do substance use prevention curriculum delivery for all of the grade levels at McMurray, so 6, 7, and 8. I'm just wrapping up 8th grade curriculum this week, actually.
Nice.
Wonderful. So, and do you see individual students, or so both of these seem to include teaching type of stuff?
Yes. There's learning, certainly, with Sources of Strength as well. That's more project planning, campaign planning, promoting, creating activities around some core ideas of what it takes to get through life when things are tough. And then the substance use prevention is direct curriculum delivery or engagement around curriculum.
Wonderful. So let's start with Sources of Strength. And can you tell us what it is exactly? Is it a national program? Or
it is, and it's even an international program. They operate in more countries now, I think, than I would remember from when I knew. And it is a program that was started by an ex-cop. Hopefully he won't hear this if I get any of his story wrong, so I'll quickly move on from that piece. but he wanted to address some of the root causes of some of the struggles that he was seeing in his community and go further upstream, as they say in prevention, right? And it was started as a way to address the suicide rates and issues that they were having. And it is built around the idea that we have some core areas that we rely on for getting through when times are tough. I'll tell you more about those areas in a second, but one of the key concepts of Sources of Strength is that it's built on the idea of hope, help, and strength, as opposed to sad, shock, and trauma. A lot of prevention engagement has been around kind of some focusing on the darkness of the story, focusing on sharing the difficulty and leaving out the piece of what helped that person get through.
Right.
So this program focuses on the areas that help us get through and how we can build stronger connections to them. So there's 8 of them. Bear with me if I
okay,
count
no,
on
that's
my hands.
Good.
Okay, so it's family support, healthy activities, mentors, generosity, spirituality, mental health, medical access, and I am forgetting one. Were you writing those down as I said?
Nutrition, maybe something.
Yeah. No, that's healthy activities would probably fit under that. Friends, positive friends.
Oh, okay, that's 8. 8 out of 8. That's pretty solid for a Monday morning, right?
Yeah.
On.
Very impressive.
Only took me 2 minutes.
Did you have to go to a training to get this to become?
We bring in their trainers to work with the students at the beginning of the year. We do a day long retreat, and we bring their folks in. It's based on some really core prevention strategies and public health strategies that are part of what we already do. So as we go forward, we may rely less on their national trainers
and
build more of our own structure to it, primarily from a funding standpoint.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
They're wonderful, and they bring a lot and offer a lot, especially a fresh perspective and a fresh face and enthusiasm.
Nice.
And yeah, so we bring... oh my gosh, I've lost the connection to the question you asked me.
That's okay. I do that all the time.
So I'm struck by, just as you're describing sort of this focus on social emotional growth and resiliency, and that in Sources of Strength, sort of the focus is on hope and positivity.
Yeah.
And I'm remembering sort of my own experiences and the prevention messages that I was exposed to, you know, 15 years ago back in the prehistoric age that were, that was DARE, the DARE program was one, and the other was the ever-present Mothers Against Drunk Driving, both programs, I'm not knocking either one of them. Mothers Against Drunk Driving did some great stuff, but there was always, especially at this time of year, and then again at around graduation time, I remember in high school having the mangled head-on collision car, and just like all of the kids walking around in their the zombie outfits from being, you know, killed in the mock drunk driving accidents. I just remember thinking, wow, that, yes, impactful, but whoo, that's really shadowy.
I was in a commercial when I was in high school for Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and I was like, my line was, Dan is so smashed, and I wasn't very convincing. Dan is so smashed, like that. Anyway, Tracy.
So
I think you got it by now.
Yeah. So getting back to that sort of message of positivity that Sources of Strength is bringing into the building through this curriculum, I think is... It's a transition from previous messages that I as a mental health therapist... Mm-hmm. That resonates with me, because that's one of the things I'm constantly trying to bring forward is, hey, how can we shift this focus from I'm feeling feelings that I don't want to feel into, hey, I am beginning to create the feelings that I do want to feel.
Totally. And where are we, and where do we want to be, and how do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we learn from each other? So a lot of the messaging is around what helps me, so to speak, not me necessarily, though I'll share what helps me too. It's about students sharing their stories of what helps them feel better. And they're around these areas of the wheel. They're what helps when we're dealing with the big things in life, like anxiety and depression and anger. What do we do with those things?
Right.
Where do we go? And what areas do we already have? What do we already have going for us? And how can we expand and grow more capacity within these other areas of the wheel so that we have a stronger safety net to catch us when things are hard?
Got it.
That is amazing.
And the wheel that you're talking about is sort of the graphical representation of those eight elements that you had talked about earlier.
Yeah. And it looks kind of like a... like Trivial Pursuit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, so how do students get into this? Is it during the school day or is it after school?
It's during the school day. Students are nominated by their peers and by teachers and other staff members in the building with the idea of creating a team that is diverse from among many social groups within the school. So we ask students to consider who they see as natural leaders within their social groups or friend groups, or other social groups and friend groups, people that they see other people turning to and who are influencers. And we take the list and we get lots of students nominated, which is pretty fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do our best to build a team that represents as many areas of the school's social networks as possible. And we have a team of roughly 40 students. And unfortunately, that's not as many as we would ideally have or love to have or want to be part of the team. And we're limited only in our ratios from adults to students. So one of my goals for the program is to build in more adult mentors.
Got it.
As we go forward. And Woody, I just wanted to mention too what you were talking about in terms of those kinds of high impact campaigns with the the crash scene on the front lawn of the school or the speaker that comes in the speaker that comes in with a really high drama story, really emotionally impactful, right? Like so you're in this room or you're in this space, you're in this place and moment in time really feeling something. And then you leave that room or that space or
the
that experience.
Over.
Right. The assembly's over and you may walk out feeling worse than you did when you walked in instead of hopeful about what you could do about the situation. And more importantly, nothing changes. There's no impact overall on behaviors.
Interesting. And that's like a research based type of thing.
That's prevention. Science that's looking at outcomes.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. So the students, there's no other way to ask this, but I'll just come out with it. Is it cool to be in this, or is it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
you get for real. Right. And
kids
by the way,
I
don't mean to say there's no impact. Let me back that one up.
No, there's certainly
a half
an
a step because there are some people who will be impacted, right? But when you want broader impacts, you want broader level. Behavior change, you use approaches that believe in something bigger.
Right.
And so, yes, our team, we meet not as frequently as I would love, but we get what we can. We meet every 2 weeks and for about an hour, and we plan our activities that promote these connections and awareness. And
so activities for the whole school.
The most recent thing that the students did, they went with a video that they created at our retreat at the beginning of the year, where students who chose to shared what helps them.
And I saw the video. It was amazing.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah. And we'll put the link on to it if that's possible. What I was struck by, and I guess this speaks to what you were saying, was that there was a diverse group of kids speaking about a whole bunch of things. One student who said his mother was a naturopathic doctor and really helped him with health. And
the medical access piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like this trite thing that they were saying. They seemed to be really reaching into themselves.
Yeah. Making genuine connections with what helps them. Hmm. And there's nothing that's asked to be exposed in any kind of painful way or terribly revealing. It's just a pretty natural, it's a pretty natural expression of what's real for them. And so they took that into homerooms and they shared that video, which covered all of the different areas of the wheel. Or those areas of resiliency that Sources identifies. And then they invited students to engage in some kind of activity that would help strengthen their own connections to whatever area they chose. And there was no requirement around that. They could choose whatever area and they could choose what they did around. So let's say it's generosity. So maybe you write your teacher a note of appreciation, or if you're so inclined to make cookies for a friend, or whatever kind of something easy squeezy or more complicated that a student wanted to engage in around one of these areas of the wheel. And then the real kicker was getting them to share their story. Like, what happened? How did that go? And it wasn't around find something that's wrong with you and do something about it. It's just find a way to make a connection. Like, even find out your doctor's name, you know? Find out where you could help a friend turn if they were struggling with depression. Or hang out with a friend invite a friend over, whatever kinds of things. There were lots and lots of different ways for students to choose how they wanted to participate. And they did. And they shared some pretty great stories. So we're looking forward to sharing more of those stories. Wow. And more students want to be involved in videos with us too.
Oh, neat. Yeah, well, it was cool.
Of course, anytime you're generating that feeling of connection, whether it's an internal feeling or an external expression of connection with other people, for the most part, that's what kids' worlds revolve around, whether they're connecting in the physical space at the lunch table or on the sports field, or they're in the digital space and they're texting or Instagramming or Snapchatting or you know, real-time gaming. It's all about connection. So
dare I say this for adults too?
Let's stick to middle schoolers. But yeah, totally true. I mean, humans want to connect with other human beings. That's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
Right. So whenever you can create that genuine connection, especially with students in middle school where they're already struggling with that,
right? And there's ample opportunity for unhelpful ways of connecting.
Right, everywhere, all the time. That's that's middle school.
I walked into the middle school the other day and some kid screamed something you can't say on the radio really loud to his friend, like right when I walked in, and I was like, feels really welcoming. And then I walked in and I was like, I said to the secretary, I can understand why a lot of people are afraid of middle schoolers. But I love them, but I can see there's just this middle school. There's certain people that work well with middle schoolers. And getting back to one thing that you said before, that adults can, that you need more mentors. Is that something people in the community could get involved with, or is that, do you have to be in the school to do that?
The trick is, no, you don't have to be in the school. The trick is, before we can build the program larger, we have to build something reliable. Okay. And that process is still in the thinking stages of how do we expand and keep it reliable and viable? Because if we offer it and can't sustain it, that's worse than not offering it at all.
Right. I see.
Well, and honestly, since this program is happening during the school day, that's one of the times of day when it's the most difficult to get people to show up consistently as mentors. It's one of the things that we struggle with. I wouldn't say struggle, but we're constantly looking for a larger pool of mentors on the journeyman side of things for the school circles that that I lead at the middle school. We would like to be able to expand, but there's a capacity issue when it comes to folks that have availability during the school day.
Right.
Yeah.
And how about you, Peggy? You have availability during the
We'll talk.
Okay.
So now your other thing that you do, and again, kudos to that video. It was really great.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope people watch it. So the other thing that you do is go into classrooms and teach prevention, substance abuse.
Yeah, it's called SUP.
Substance Abuse Prevention.
Substance Use Prevention.
Yes.
We can prevent abuse by preventing use, right? So I talk with students about that, you know, because the reality is I'm too late by the time I walk in a classroom. I'm too late to prevent use for everyone.
Right.
And so it's kind of a three-pronged approach for prevention, with preventing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Then reducing harm, right? Mm-hmm. Slowing down the process, backing off the process if I'm too late for prevention. And then if I'm even too late for that second stage, is getting connected to resources. So that's, you were asking earlier about one-on-one work, I think you were starting to ask about that. So there is an aspect of individual student advocacy. Students can always walk into my office if they so choose, and I can help get them connected with mental health supports on the island, off island, connected with of even the in-house supports that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That I do some one-on-one work with students who choose to come in.
Mm-hmm. So your door is open, you're available.
Not in a therapeutic way.
Yeah.
But as a resource and an advocate for them, making connections with mental health supports.
Nice. Yeah. And there are some mental health supports. We had talked with Anna Waldman and Stephanie Keller about some of the resources that are provided on island for Vashon Island students through the Neighbor Care school clinic. So there, I know that there are other resources in addition to the counseling staff at the three schools. There are also some other just straight up mental health related supports, as well as physical supports available to students and resources.
And, you know, we've struggled here, right, on Vashon with adequate resources to meet people's mental health needs.
I think they struggle with that everywhere. I think that's a universal struggle, but
access has been tricky here.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And so having more available in the school has been huge.
Nice.
And so they've got the in-house supports as school employees. We've got the kind of embedded available mental health supports during the school day mm-hmm. through neighbor care mm-hmm. and VYFS being able to get after hours, or students being able to opt in during school hours into their supports too.
Right, right.
In addition to the private practice folks on the island, it's just, it feels pretty great like to be in this level of support.
There's a lot of support, and maybe it's just that we're talking to these people doing amazing things, but.
Well, and it's being utilized. I imagine you probably had that conversation. They're being sought out.
Yeah. Which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So getting back to your curriculums, what are the topics that you go over with the students?
Well, typically starting with making connections between the work that goes on with Second Step.
Okay.
And the
Second Step violence prevention.
Social
emotional learning. Okay.
It really focuses on values a lot, mm-hmm. that curriculum. And so starting from an idea of what matters most to them as they're going through life and looking at their goals, what their strengths are, where they're at. We talk about brains during adolescence.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
What the function and purpose of adolescence is, which I happen to have a high appreciation for.
having one that's still in that stage and three that have made their way pretty much through it now.
Yeah. Well, two for sure. So I'm totally in it.
Got it.
I do. It's a critical and really exciting and dynamic phase of life.
Dynamic. That's such a nice reframe. It's such a nice, I love it. Yes, it's a dynamic stage of life. Thank you, Tracy Mack. I'm putting that in the book to use.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A dynamic.
I'm sure I'm the first one to yes. say that. So, but I really do appreciate what this stage of development is all about. And I try and help bring an appreciation to them for it too. And appreciation might foster respect, and respect might foster caretaking of themselves and their purpose and their brains and what's happening in there. So we look at their values, we look at the stage of development they're in and the purpose of it, mm-hmm. and what's going on, and what in terms of particularly around motivation and reward, mm-hmm. in their noodles. And how substance use impacts and disrupts and takes over for those things as they are high wired for all of the risk taking and right. all of the drama and all of the bigness of adolescence.
Yeah.
And what makes them so amazing right now is also what makes them so at risk
right,
for
right.
problems with using substances, mm-hmm. and that simply time helps reduce that this period of their lives, all of the everything that it is exactly why they're so at risk. And I really mm-hmm. try and help them make that connection.
Yeah.
And then we look at some of the specific effects of specific substances on the brain. We do some activities that have varying levels of success on any given day.
right.
I'm smiling because I have one planned for Wednesday that oof, depends on the energy level in the room.
Yeah.
You know? I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
It involves balloons, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
And do you get to make up like the more fun activities, or are they part of the curriculum?
The curriculum, that use prevention curriculum, is based on, oh, there's so many acronyms, Peggy. I'm going to try not to lay them on you, but it's It's based on the curriculum that's used at the high school through the prevention intervention specialist that works up there.
Yes.
Or is typically found there. So it's based on some core objectives within that curriculum. It's based on workshops. It's based on my own continuing ed opportunities and mm-hmm. conferences. And
I see. So I this try is and your pull. Own work. Is it what really, you're saying.
Yeah. I pull from a variety of sources and try and keep it as current and relevant to what their experiences are. Yeah. Right?
Which because is so hard sometimes.
Right? Well, who was dealing with vaping or who was dealing with social media when they were making curriculum 20 years
right.
ago?
Right. Or 10 years ago. Or right. 5 years ago. It's how right. How do you keep it current? How do you keep the conversation relevant to the audience that's in front of you when it's 7th and 8th graders who are they're up on the latest lingo and the latest technology for all different types of things, not just their phones and their gaming systems, right. but also nicotine and cannabis delivery systems and all the, vaping yeah. and all the other stuff. So,
well, and it's interesting too, because I'll have students kind of like expecting something from me, expecting like the just say no kind right, of stuff right. or the dare kind
this
of stuff.
This is your brain on drugs.
Right. They're kind yeah. of yeah. expecting that from me. And I'm like, you guys, I'm here because you're people. Like,
yeah.
Substance use prevention is about people. Right. Substances don't use substances. People use substances.
Right, right.
So that's where we're coming from here. If you yeah. were looking for an egg.
And I would think that, like, that being, well, I'm really I didn't know that you made it up, and I hope you write a book someday. But I do think that having the connection is important too, and I do happen to know just from the word on the block that kids really feel connected to you.
Oh, thanks.
So that is, probably a big part of that curriculum is that you're connecting with them.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. I hope that they notice that I notice them, and I notice who they are for what they bring, where it might be otherwise mistaken for a difficulty. I see it as an expression of something bigger for them. I really appreciate young people.
Yeah, me too. I think we all do at this table.
Okay.
So I think that you had a tip to share for some of the parents out there.
Well, my hope is that more people in the adult world can appreciate the stage of development that their adolescents are going through and understand they're literally not there yet. Those places that we want our kids to be, they'll get there with support. They'll get there with belief in their best selves. They'll get there with messaging that says, I know you can do this, or I know it's not easy, and I know you're not there.
Yeah.
They'll get there.
That is a great tip. And nice. Do you, in order to get in touch with you, is there, like, if a parent had a question about prevention or something, could they call you?
Best way to reach me is email.
Okay.
And that's I'm the standard convention with the school district.
Which is?
Go ahead and say it.
T-M-A-C.
Okay.
That's T-M-A-C-H.
Okay.
At VashonSD.org.
So thank you for coming in. So wonderful to talk with you. In this format, we get a chance to connect a lot on the McMurray campus, but it's so nice to hear you describe your take on what you do. Because certainly I hear from the kids all the time what's going on, but it's just nice to talk with you in this format. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. I've appreciated it too. Appreciation.
Aww. All right. Talk
bye.
To you soon.
You guys. Thanks for joining Peggy and Woody on Island Tribe. For more great parenting tips and information, go to voiceofvashon.org under shows and hosts and look for Island Tribe.